You are listening to Community Forum on Quixie 98.3. Your host is Eric Cornish, and the topic is Hospice of Central Kentucky. We'll join the interview in progress.
All right, First Ladies, let's talk about Hospice a little bit and about the services. And for anybody who doesn't know, what are the services that are offered?
Hospice Health, which is based in Louisville, but we have a large office here in Elizabethtown that serves five counties. We provide end-of-life care for people and support for their families. And it's a holistic type of care, which involves medical care and support and also emotional support for the patient and family, spiritual support for the patient and family. So it is provided by a team consisting of doctors, nurses, social workers, chaplains, volunteers, and bereavement counselors. So at a very difficult time for people, it's just a tremendous support system that helps people through that difficult time in life.
Absolutely. And it's one of those, inevitabilities, I guess, in life that everybody's going to have to deal with.
Yes.
Eventually.
Absolutely.
So you talked about the counties that you all serve, and what are those counties?
Hardin, LaRue, Meade, Grayson, and Breckenridge.
All right. And so that is here out of the E-Town office. So you mentioned volunteers in there, and obviously volunteers are a big part of what you do. So how do you go about finding those volunteers?
Well, we do recruiting efforts throughout the five counties that we serve. We do that on social media, through radio and newspaper, through word of mouth, and then we have various people, including Moira and myself and Jamie Disselkamp, our outreach manager, who go to community groups, civic clubs, churches, chambers of commerce, and try to bring the message of our services to the community, because it's very important for people to know that they don't have to wait for their doctor to say it's time for hospice care. They can make that decision on their own, or they can at least inquire about our services. All they have to do is call the office and say, I have a loved one who has all this going on. They're hospitalized a lot, or they're suffering in some way. And those are things that we can really help with. And people, I think it's really important for folks to understand that they do not have to wait for their doctor to say it's time to call our office. We do talk to physicians in our communities and ask for them to, you know, have this service in mind for their patients as well. But that referral can come to our office really from anywhere.
Sure. And I know that the patient support is the one thing that you all are looking for volunteers. Now, if somebody says, well, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, like how does that work? How do you become a volunteer?
So I'll give you just a minute of background about how volunteers came to be with hospice and with Hospice Health. It's hard for any of us to remember, I think, a time when there was not hospice care in our communities. But there was a time, 40 years ago, 45 years ago, there was no hospice care. And so people did not have that wonderful support system available to them when they had a terrible time in their life that they were dealing with. So the way that hospice care came to be here and came to be in most of the country is through volunteers, volunteer doctors, volunteer nurses and social workers, and people to help provide respite care in the home. That's what our volunteers do currently. So when the Medicare benefit was made permanent in 1986, Congress actually dictated that volunteers must stay involved with hospices because they realize the value of that support and that extra layer of care that can be provided to patients and families. So we have volunteers who sit with patients, provide them companionship, provide respite for their caregivers, because that's a 24/7 job that really can wear a person out. So volunteers come into the home for 2 or 3 hours a week, give the caregiver a chance to go to the grocery or to take a walk or to have lunch with a friend, sometimes to go to church, whatever it is that brings that person a few hours of rest a week away from the caregiving. Now, our volunteers who work directly with patients do not provide medical care, and they don't provide any kind of personal care. I think that's really important for people to know.
Right. It just companionship more
yes.
than anything, right?
Absolutely. And a listening ear. know, someone to listen to their stories, their life story, sometimes their fears, whatever it is that that person needs. Volunteers are very open to going in and just being there for whatever it is that patient and family needs.
And what type of people do you look for in that case? What people do you see coming in to be the volunteers most often?
You know, we have an amazing broad section of people who cross-section of people who provide that care. We have people who are still working, believe it or not, and they will see patients in the evening after work or on the weekends, mostly for companionship. And then we have a lot of folks who are available either because of a part-time schedule or because they're retired and they can do that daytime respite care that we need so greatly. And people from all walks of life, different personalities, we provide the training for them, kind of give them the basis for the volunteer care that we provide. And that way anybody can do it because there's a set of boundaries that we teach and a way to be with people and not get overly involved. And also to keep your own life separate and still provide that compassionate care. There's definitely a way to do that. I think some people are a bit fearful that they might get too emotional or overly involved. And really, there is a definite way to enter into this kind of volunteer work for anybody.
So really, all you need is just a heart and some compassion, and you can do it.
Very much so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, other volunteer opportunities we'll talk about here in a little bit and how you can train. But the Eatown Thrift Shop is a big part of what you guys do. Tell us about the thrift shop and actually how it runs and what its benefit is to hospice.
Absolutely. The Hospice Health Thrift Shop has been in this community for 27 years and is a great support for Hospice Health because the proceeds from the sales of donated items go directly back to help patients and families and cover a portion of the costs for things like bereavement care and for those patients without the ability to pay for services. It's very important to Hospice Health that all of those who need the services get what they need regardless of their ability to pay, which is why we have things like the thrift shop. The thrift shop accepts gently used donations throughout the year of household items, clothing, furniture, small appliances. And then we have a very dedicated group of staff and volunteers who work to process all of those items and prepare them for sale.
Excellent. So obviously you need the help there too.
Absolutely.
And that's, I guess, one of the reasons that we're here today. We want to encourage people to become volunteers, and there's some training, opportunities that are coming up for both of these volunteers, right?
Yes, we have training for what we call patient and family support volunteers periodically throughout the year. We just had one in late May, and we will be scheduling another one very soon. So it's great if people are interested. They can call and talk to me and ask questions and see if that's something that they really want to apply for. And then go ahead and make the application, and then we can let them know what the training dates are that will be coming up that might work with their schedule. Sometimes they're during the week, and sometimes we'll have them on a Saturday to accommodate people who work. So sure. It's very flexible.
And of course, as we talked about in the thrift shop, and now I'm sure you need some help there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have special trainings once a month there as well.
Yes, and we do that. We do it once a month, the fourth Wednesday of every month. And we try to keep that on the books so that we people who are interested, we can get them in and get them trained quickly. It, as Annette mentioned, trainings, we do teach a lot of the basics of how we do what we do. But as you can imagine, thrift shop is a lot of hands-on training. So it's a lot of once you get into the shop and really get hands-on to what the items that are coming in and what we're doing with them and how we process them. You just never know what to expect, and it's hard to train somebody for what they might encounter because every day is an adventure at the thrift shop.
Sure, and I think you talked about the people that might be a little uncomfortable with sitting with some of these folks that are at the end of life, and that's fine if you still want to support Hospice Health. here's a good way to do it.
And the thrift shop is in and of itself is also has so many opportunities. You can have folks that are more interested in working with the donations and working in behind the scenes. But then we also have so many volunteers who are great with our customers and do sort of the arranging and straightening things out on the floor. So we really work to meet a volunteer with what their interests are and what their strengths are so that they enjoy their experience as well.
Absolutely. So many different options there. So if you want to volunteer for any of this, where can they go to check out more about Hospice Health and volunteer opportunities?
They can either come by or call our office or come by or call the thrift shop. And the office is at 105 Deeks Drive, which is under construction right now for the summer. But it's still accessible. And our phone number there is 270-737-6300. Or they can go to myimpactpage.com or they can go to the Hospice website, either one, and follow the volunteer links and apply online. So they can either apply on paper or apply online. And we'll be glad to mail out applications if that's what people prefer.
Excellent. Well, plenty of opportunities to get involved. And anything else that you would like to share about Hospice this morning?
We have some specialty programs that are very important to our patients and families. One of them is we honor veterans, and we have trained veteran volunteers who visit with our patients who have served in the military, and they are presented with a certificate of appreciation with their name and branch of service in a beautiful folder, and then also are given a patriotic care blanket. And about a quarter of our patients are people who have served in the armed forces, and we think it's very, very important to give them veteran-centric care and also to recognize and thank them for their service. And we think that's best done by another veteran, and so we are always recruiting more veteran volunteers to make those special honor visits. Another non-patient direct way that people can help, we have a care blanket program. And anyone who would like to make a crocheted or quilted care blanket, that would be great. We try to get one to every one of our patients, and we serve several hundred patients a year. Actually, I think over 1,000 patients a year now.
Wow.
And I have a spec sheet. There are some requirements that we ask for. It's nothing too difficult, and they're not huge. We ask for a lap blanket size, about a 3x4. And they can call me for those details as well. We also are always recruiting people to do volunteer hair care and massage therapy for our patients. And that is such a wonderful thing when people can't get out of the house to get their hair done. To bring that service to them makes them feel so good and cared for. And so those folks have to be licensed and have to do a special assessment with us. But anyone who is a licensed cosmetologist or barber, we would love to talk to them about volunteering as well.
Excellent. Well, I don't think that you've left anybody out today who can definitely volunteer to help out Hospice Health. And I want to thank you all for coming in this morning. Thank you for all that you do for something that everyone will need eventually.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for helping us get the word out.
Hey, no problem.